It is time for the Baseball Insider, MSO News Sports Baseball Insider, Andy Carboni. Andy, welcome.
Happy to be back once again, Bill.
Hey, Andy, the Red Sox are off to a perfect spring training. I know in years past that hasn't always been a great harbinger, if you will, as to or forecast for what's ahead during the regular season, but I guess fill us in. What's happened so far in spring training?
Well, I'll tell you this right now, Bill. If you want, you can get your World Series tickets, but I'll tell you the 6-0 start in spring training means nothing toward the regular season, as most of these games are being played by minor leaguers, so don't get yourself all excited. But the Sox are a perfect 6-0 in the spring. They beat the Rays yesterday in Port Charlotte by a score of 4-2. Milton's Rich Hill was credited with the win. He struck out two over a couple scoreless innings. This afternoon, the Red Sox head back to JetBlue Park. They'll be taking on the Twins. First pitch at 1:05. That game will be on regular NESN as well as AM 850.
Sounds good. Hey, Andy, I know the last time we talked a week ago or so, you were not optimistic about the Red Sox being able to sign players here in 2022. What changed?
Well, Chaim Bloom proved me wrong. I guess he must have listened to our Baseball Insider, and he must have said, I better get something done to quiet that guy down. So just before Sunday's spring training game, the Red Sox made a big announcement. They signed shortstop Trevor Story, previously of the Colorado Rockies, to a 6-year, $140 million contract. Story can opt out after year four of this deal in a 6-year career. Story has averaged 34 home runs, 98 RBIs, while stealing 22 bases. He has a career 272 batting average, but his batting average outside of Coors Field in Denver is just 241. And with this signing, Story will become the Red Sox second baseman come opening day, a position he has never played before. And, of course, this could have him sliding back over to shortstop next season because Xander Bogaerts has an opt-out clause in his contract, and maybe the Red Sox are just trying to give themselves a little bit of insurance should Xander head out the door.
You know, I also think that Bogaerts, one of these guys that, I mean, maybe at some point he's a third baseman. I don't know, you know, down the road.
Well, that's quite possible. Of course, the Red Sox did try to make Bogaerts a third baseman when he first came up. Didn't go well, but doesn't mean he could still not do it in the future. But then if that's the case, where does Rafael Devers go if Bogaerts becomes a third baseman? Does Rafael become just a DH down the road or become a first baseman? Or what many people are fearing as well, Bogaerts leaves, Devers would be next.
All right, Andy, what else do we have? Devers signed it too, right?
Yeah, the Red Sox did throw some more money around yesterday. They avoided salary arbitration with Rafael Devers, signing him to a 1-year, $11.2 million contract. That's up from a $4 million deal he had last year. So a nice little pay raise for Rafael. Outfielder Alex Verdugo got a 1-year, $3.55 million contract. And pitcher Nick Pivetta, a 1-year, $2.65 million deal. So they all avoided arbitration.
We have a little graphic up on this post, Andy, the Baseball Insider post on Red Sox season opening day tickets. So, folks, you may want to help out the team and buy a ticket to help pay for some of these salaries, okay?
Well, they're going to have to. Tickets are still available, so Red Sox are getting concerned, so go buy them up while you can.
All right, there were a few other signings, right?
Yeah, Red Sox made a couple of minor league contract signings. They signed first baseman Travis Shaw, who came over at the trade deadline last year. They also inked up veteran pitchers Derek Holland and Hansel Robles, so they all get minor league contracts with an invitation to spring training.
And this team also announced some a tribute or a season-long tribute to former Red Sox player and broadcaster Jerry Remy.
Absolutely. There'll be all kinds of events for Jerry this up-and-coming season, but Sox players and coaches will be honoring the memory of Remy this season by wearing patches on their uniforms with his name and the number 2.
Gotcha. All right. Also in the news, give me some more insight onto this David Ortiz shooting story from, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, quite a scary situation here. Former Red Sox star David Ortiz said he's stunned by the report that a Dominican drug kingpin ordered his 2019 shooting. The report was prepared by former Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis, who was hired by Ortiz to investigate. Ortiz was shot in the back outside of a nightclub in the Dominican Republic. The report says it was ordered by drug kingpin Cesar Peralta. Davis says Peralta felt disrespected by Ortiz, which led him to ordering the botched hit.
They said it was a mistaken identity. I mean, you and I could get shot for mistaken identity, but not David Ortiz.
No, that was a nice, clean way of saying it early on in the investigation, but you knew there was a lot more behind the story.
All right, other notes, Andy, you have for us on the team, new this week?
Yeah, a little bit with the schedule, a bit of an oddity, as the Sox are scheduling to play one night game over the first 12 days of the season. So that's something I like. I like day baseball, so that'll be fun to kind of keep an eye on through the first couple weeks of the season. The Sox ground crew began installing a new sod in the outfield at Fenway Park over the last week. So it'll be nice new shiny grass at Fenway when opening day happens on April 15th against the Twins.
Yeah, I saw that. I guess it makes sense. It'll be nice and green. You're right. They roll it. It was interesting to watch how they were doing that. Man.
Maybe they can come over to my backyard if they got any extra grass left.
There you go. Exactly. All right. Now, you mentioned what was on NESN, regular NESN today. What is on NESN Plus with the...
Well, after you watch a couple hours of the regular Red Sox play spring training this afternoon on regular NESN, slide on over to NESN Plus. It's the best home openers being featured this week. First pitch at 3 today. It's opening day from April the 4th of 2010. Red Sox beat the Yankees 9-7 at Fenway on Sunday Night Baseball. Kevin Youkilis and Dustin Pedroia each hit home runs.
Wow, neat. Okay, that's a good idea, getting us revved up for spring. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, now I know you always share with us some of the top stories from around Major League Baseball each week. So, Andy, what do you have this week from MLB?
Well, Major League Baseball and the Players Association are making a few tweaks to rules ahead of the start of the 2022 season. Sides agreed to three main changes yesterday, which include expanded rosters, automatic runners on second base during extra innings, and pitchers being able to stay in games with designated hitters. The rosters will be expanded to 28 players through May 1st. The use of extra inning runners will occur only during the regular season, not the postseason.
I thought they weren't doing the extra inning runners.
That's what they said when this new collective bargaining agreement first came down, that was not going to be a factor anymore. Those extra base runners are going to go away. But I don't know what happened between the two sides. They've decided they're going to do it now. That kind of aggravates me quite a bit because I think that is just foolish. But that's just me being a purist. But I know a lot of people out there did like that. But we shall see how it plays out.
Well, you know, you and I strangely disagreed a couple of times last week, but I agree with you on this one 100%. You're right. Yeah. All right. There are other signings from around MLB. What?
Yeah, a couple big signings before last time we spoke. Twins signed shortstop Carlos Correa to a three-year, $105 million deal, and the Phillies signed outfielder Nick Castellanos to a five-year, $100 million contract.
All right. And I guess you have a couple of other notes. Well, let's begin with the Yankees. What's up with them?
Yeah, a letter detailing an investigation into the Yankees from 2017 will become a public document 2 years after a federal judge ruled it should be unsealed in a lawsuit over the daily fantasy ramifications of electronic sign stealing in baseball. A news release from Commissioner Rob Manfred allegedly hid the full findings of what MLB discovered about the Yankees. Letters alleged to have proved the team's sign stealing methods from 2017. When New York was punished for improperly using a dugout phone and the Red Sox were using Apple iWatches to pick up signals.
So is this bad news for the Red Sox, too, on this release, on this doc?
I don't really think so. I think it's more of a slap on the wrist against the Yankees to kind of throw them into the soup. I mean, everyone knows the Red Sox with their Apple Watch situation back in 2017. So I don't think you're going to see much more news made out of it in terms of the Red Sox side of it.
All right, okay. All right, and the A's, what's up with Oakland?
Yeah, an Oakland council person considering a call for a public referendum as part of the November elections for the billion-dollar A's ballpark at the Howard Terminal waterfront. Council members feel the community voices need to be heard and for others to understand the impact of such a major project on underprivileged communities. So, ballpark situation in Oakland still very much up in the air, and the commissioner has said if Oakland and Tampa can't get new parks soon, he's been saying this for a few years now, but if they can't get new parks soon, there'll be possibilities of teams moving around in Major League Baseball to other locations, so we'll have to see how that all drags out.
Ooh, that's exciting. All right, one last question. Let me just circle back to Trevor Story, the new Red Sox second baseman but longtime shortstop. What's his impact on the team? What do you think?
Well, I mean, he brings in definite power bat into the lineup. He is an excellent defensive shortstop. You would think he should be able to handle second base. Even though he's never played there before, it should be fine defensively compared to who was there, but it's definitely an impact bat in the lineup, kind of helping to offset the loss of Kyle Schwarber. He should be able to hit 20-plus home runs in the American League, no problem. He does bring a speed factor into the game, which is really not seen that often in baseball anymore. He steals 20-plus bases a season. He should be a fan favorite. He should be able to pepper that wall at Fenway, so we'll have to see how it all plays out. But, yeah, I would like to see the infield of Devers, Story, and Bogaerts stick together for a few years and make it quite interesting. So we'll have to see how that all ends up happening. But definitely an upgrade at that second base position and makes the Red Sox lineup a bit deeper.
A peppery second baseman, Andy. I mean, it sounds like we're talking in the 1940s.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a little pepper pot going on out there.
Exactly. All right, Andy, always good talking with you, and we'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
There he is, MSO New Sports Baseball Insider Andy Carboni, and I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.